Order in the court.
Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Reg.
Torian B.
How we feeling today, brother?
I'm feeling pretty good, man.
See your shirt you got.
Oh, yeah. Bitches, Guns N' Roses shirt. 1989.
Nice. Well, feeling pretty vintage myself. I got this.
Okay. Double Dragon.
Yeah. I got this for Christmas from you, actually.
You're
welcome. Yeah, yeah. You know, people shit on the movie. I watched it again not that long ago. It's not very good, but, you know, still, at least we got the cartoon. Yeah. You know, I know for our audience, some of you probably don't even know what the fuck Double Dragon is, but it's okay. Do your history. So what's going on in the world?
So there are two movies that are out. You saw one, I saw one. So tell me about the Bob Marley movie. What's your thoughts?
So I'm not the biggest Bob Marley fan. It was my friend Riv's idea to go. Shout out to Riv. Riv loves Bob Marley. Loves Bob Marley. I like Bob Marley, but mostly because of, like, not just what he represents, but, like, you know, he died on, like, the highest of notes because he like, orchestrated, like, a peace treaty, like, in front of everyone, you know, from opposing sides. So, like, that's big. And I think with that part, it kind of carried his legacy into something else. So I love his music. I just think that the movie didn't do a good job of, like, talking about that specific time frame in his life. And it's so up in the air. Some timelines kind of just don't carry over to the next. But, you know, as much as I'm against these UK niggas taking over the way that they do, Kingsley Benair, he did a great job. The accent was great. The hair needed some work, but he did a great job for what he was offered and what he contributed. But I just overall did not need this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw Doom 2,
mm-hmm.
which was a really, really good movie. It stars Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya. Also, Batista's in it. Shout out to my main man, Batista.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. The first one I had to watch twice because it's a lot. I've also seen the original when I was a child with my aunt. Shout out to Aunt Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a slow burn, so it's hard. It pretty much sets up the lore and tells you everything that's going on, and then the action is in the second one. Cool movie, visually beautiful.
Mm.
Did you
see the IMAX?
I did.
Okay.
And it was a good movie. Like, it's just a good, like, saga. Like, I feel like this is, I think Dune, well, I think Oppenheimer and Barbie started it, and, like, Dune is carrying it on. That, like, going to theaters is back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's certain movies that you kind of, like, want to experience in a movie theater for the first time. And Dune was definitely that. It was just one of those movies. It was just like, all right, cool. Like, this is like some weird, like, space odyssey shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm into that stuff. So it did its job.
I'm going to get around to checking it out. I just still have to watch the first one. And every time I start watching the first one, I just fall asleep.
If I were you, if you really, because, you know, I get through it because that's like kind of a genre I like. But if I were you, just read, like, the Cliff Notes.
Then
see the second one. Because truthfully, like, it kind of catches you up. When I watched it, I was like, oh, shit, good. Nice refresher.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right, maybe I'll try that. Before we get to the next thing, tell me if you think this is racist. So, me and my friend Jess, you know Jess.
Shout out
to Jess. I met up with her in Brooklyn, like, a couple weekends ago. And we did, like, you know, we just did some work and just hung out. And then we went to a bar. Walk into this bar. It's a really nice bar in Brooklyn. You walk in and there's a bunch of art on the wall. It's Wu-Tang. It's like all this hip hop art. Ain't no, we're drawing the shit like that. So I look at the art and I'm like, oh, man, this is cool. The bartender, he sees that we're looking at it. And he's like, oh, you guys like Wu-Tang? And we're like, yeah. And he's white. He's like, you guys like Wu-Tang? I was like, yeah, nah, this is dope. Whatever. Kind of just taking a room in. And he's like, yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's Wednesday. So, like, you know, we're not playing any Wu-Tang today. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. He was like, yeah, it's rock day. And I was like, okay, cool. Right. So we sit down and then in front of us, there's like a bunch of like different vinyls to like look at. So I'm like, just looking at the vinyls like, oh, MF Doom. Oh, okay. More Wu-Tang. Oh, that's cool. So and he's like, comes back around. He goes, Yeah, no, typically, you know, we play a lot of rap, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, since it's Wednesday, blah, 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 you know, we got to play rock music. And I'm like, okay, right? Cool. We're not tripping. We just vibing, right? So me and Jess are sitting there just, we dead ass playing Wordle at the bar. It's just like chill, just chilling. He keeps coming around us. He serves us drinks, whatever. Long story short, at the end of it, we're leaving and he's like, yeah, I hope you guys had a good time. Again, sorry about the rock music. And we're like, bro, we wasn't tripping off the rock music. Like, how you know I don't have a Nirvana tattoo on my back? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think there's another word for that. I don't think it was racist, though.
What do you think it was?
He made a saying, when you assume, you make an ass of yourself. So he just made an ass of himself, assuming that you guys wouldn't enjoy rock music. And I think he's actually a fan of hip hop, and I think he was trying to make you guys feel comfortable. And in that, he made a dick of himself.
Mm-hmm. But I think that is what makes it racist, because he assumed, just based off of like how we came in, that we wouldn't be into the rock music. I think from that experience, I learned that there can be different types of racism.
So absolutely.
There's racism with intent, right?
Mm-hmm.
His racism wasn't intentional, but it's still kind of racist.
Yeah, it didn't feel good. I get what you're saying.
We left there and we're like, why did he keep doing that? Because we wasn't tripping. He did it like three times.
I experienced that a lot. So I guess like, I guess I grew thick skin to it, because, you know, I like country music.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like there's things that I know, like, and people be like, well, it's like, my family's from the fucking South.
Yeah.
Like, it's very easy to start enjoying certain kinds of genres of music, especially depending on like where your family's from. But
yeah.
I definitely get that. Because people are always going to say to me, like, yeah, we don't have any rap music. I'm like, I don't want to listen to rap music right now.
Yeah, like we're chilling. I could see if we was asking him, like, yo, bro, like, what's up with this?
Yeah.
And he kept having to respond, but we was chilling, we had some good drinks.
I definitely would have like turned on my sarcasm and been like, hey man, but it's Wednesday.
Yeah. Like, something. Yeah. Or like, bro, like put some Led Zeppelin on. Like, why are you tripping? Something, you know, I would have said something, but I was just so like,
I get it. It threw you off, but it's happened to me on plenty of occasions. You know, Chris Stapleton is my man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Chris Stapleton. Like, imagine like me like walking over there like with like a fucking Wu-Tang t-shirt and a fitted, like, everybody's like, where's your cowboy hat?
You know, at least
look the part. But
that shit tripped me out. Shout out to Fred. His name was Fred. fucking guy.
All right. Moving on to
that shit tripped me out. I had to get an opinion.
Dreamville Fest was announced.
Mm-hmm.
Nicki Minaj is one of the headliners. Let's see who else is for Dreamville Fest.
Yeah, I haven't been to Dreamville Fest yet.
But yeah, but
it's been looking good.
The thing is, I remember that first note, that was something in the water. That was not Dreamville.
Well, I know last year they had that. Usher was the headliner last year.
Yeah, Usher was. Yeah, I made a playlist off of his performance.
Yeah.
So let's see. We got SZA, Chris. Wait, is it that this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we got SZA on Saturday. It is going to be SZA, Chris Brown, JID, Lil Yachty, Schoolboy Q, Sexy Red, Jeremiah, Earth Gang, Tizo, Touchdown. LaTyler. My little brother likes LaTyler.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, you got J. Cole, Nicki Minaj, Rima, Jeezy, Monica, Ray Shrimmer, Key Glock, Boss, Money Long, Cause, Omen, and I don't know who you
are. Oh, Tia Corrine. I don't know Chase Shakur, but I know Tia Corrine. I like her.
So this lineup is pretty solid, and Cole like has not missed with his lineups. Like, he's very good.
If you could pick one day out of these, which one would you go to?
Saturday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. But I really, damn.
I know you like Ray Shrimmer, but mm-hmm. Like, Saturday is strong.
Yeah.
And I've seen SZA already this year. Well, this past year.
Yeah. I want the kind of career that Jeremiah got, man.
Right?
Bro, I was looking at his discography not too long ago. He's dropped maybe one album. One official album.
Yeah, man. I remember at one point I was wondering like if him or the BJ's Chicago Kid was going to like be like the one, because they're both from Chicago, like, mm-hmm. be the ones that like come up. And it seems like, I don't know what's up with BJ. I'm pretty sure he's like doing like production and like
ghostwriting
and stuff like that.
BJ the Chicago Kid dropped a really good album last year, at the end of last year. It's really good, but he just don't have...
I gotta go back and revisit it, because I didn't even know that.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, Dreamville just got announced, so that was a cool thing, right? Meek Mill dropped the EP.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about Freak Mill? I mean, Meek Mill.
So I haven't listened to all of it yet, but he got this one song on there. I mean, it's called Big Boy.
Yeah.
That shit fire.
It is.
That shit is fire. But, you know, he's doing what a lot of rappers are doing right now, rapping over Detroit-esque beats.
Tell him, Rich.
But it sounded good. He sounds great on it. He's in his bag. I think Meek always gets to this. I always give him this, man. In the spirit of controversy, and he's been in a lot of controversy over the years, he always finds a way to make really good songs. Yeah. Always. Yeah. Always, always.
Meek is
whether the albums are good, that's probably questionable. But the songs that he puts out,
I can give you one.
He'll give you one. And I haven't even heard the whole EP. I heard maybe one. Two songs.
I think Heathens is a good EP. I don't know what I want from Meek. I just know I want more. I don't like, and this is just my opinion, I don't like the position that Meek is in. I think that when Meek came out, we all thought he was going to end up becoming the face of rap.
Yeah.
And I know that.
Maybe we're never meant to be.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that I, personally, like, selfishly. And like, it just seems like, He carved out a lane for himself and kind of like stayed there. He never reached like the heights. Like, people thought that he was going to be like in the trajectory of like DMX and like reach those heights. And I think like he's come close, but like no cigar. And I don't know if that's because for Meek, like now that we have social media, we know too much like funny shit about him,
mm-hmm.
or like the things that have happened with him and everything. But like I just for myself, like it's the same way how like a parent might want for their child. Like I wanted Meek to like reach those heights, and it seems like he's falling short. I'm not saying like he's not a successful artist. I'm saying that like I thought that Meek was going to be like one of like not big in rap, like in music. Like I thought like he was going to be like a household name, and it doesn't seem like it caught on. And I don't know exactly why. Like I don't have the answers or anything like that.
How do you think he views himself?
I think he views himself as a successful artist, as he should, because he is a successful artist. He's had a number one record. Like, there's things that, like, he's done that, like, I mean, he's from in Philly, like, statistically, he should be dead or locked up in jail for the rest of his life. So I know that he thinks he's successful. And I think that he's successful, too. I just wanted him to be as big as DMX. let me just say that I don't think that he's failed at anything, but I just think that, like, I didn't see Meek being in this position. Like, going on Twitter asking, like, hey, do any of y'all know videographers?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that Meek would be in a bigger, like, you know, just have more prominence as who he is. Like, I thought that he would have been, like, somebody like Drake, Kendrick, and Cole's equal.
Yeah.
Musically.
Okay. I don't think I ever saw him ranked him that high.
I did. Because I thought he was going to be the street rapper that reached that height.
Yeah. I think with me, I don't know. The way that I saw Meek was pretty clear from the beginning, where it's like, I like what he puts out, but I never bought into him as an artist. Like, I just, like, from his first album, I was like, oh, I see what this is, because his first album wasn't good to me. The Dreams and Nightmares album.
It was his mixtapes.
So the Dreams and Nightmares album, I was like, yeah, nah, this is not good. Even this cover pisses me off. The cover of it, I didn't like. And then the second album was what?
I don't remember. Dreams Worth More Money Than It Can Buy.
Yeah, like, Dreams Worth More. Yeah, something like that. But he's came out with some albums that like had a lot of potential.
Right.
Right. But I never bought into him fully, because it was always something missing. It just never felt like everything was there. But I like Meek, you know? I just think there's a lot of... Dreams
Worth
Way More Than Money.
Dreams Worth More Than Money.
Wins and Losses was good.
Championships was good.
Mm-hmm.
And Expensive Pain, crazy about.
Yeah. Expensive Pain just wasn't my type of shit. But anyway, that's all for Meek. I don't know. I think I don't know what's even gonna come next. He's been dropping a lot of EPs instead of like focused albums. His last albums
were because he's independent now. I think that he's taking a different route, and I think he's putting up a lot of his own money since he's indie. Mm-hmm. So I think he's cutting costs.
Okay.
And like just giving out Lucy's, because I think he figured out for him, like, what's the point of giving a full length project and I got paid for it out of pocket? Put out an EP, put out some singles, tour, you know, do my thing or whatever like that. And like all the money goes in his pocket opposed to making a bunch of money for a label.
That makes sense. So I mean, it remains to be seen what he'll do next. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Last thing. What do you think about Usher being in Bali with Russell Simmons doing yoga?
I think it was in bad taste to. So I thought about it in two ways. Like him being out there and people still being friends with Russell Simmons is like, whatever. Like I know that happens. Like we're not dumb. Like people are not gonna. He impacted way too many lives for all of these people to just cut him off like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was in bad taste for him to do it after the Super Bowl. With him having all these new eyes on him now, I think Usher gained almost 2 million new followers on his socials just from doing the Super Bowl. He has all these new eyes on him. Some people discovered Usher for the first time through that. I just think it's bad press. I don't think it was a good look.
I have a different thought. I don't think those new eyes even know the allegations against Russell Simmons. That's wrong. The problem is that Usher has a huge female fan base.
Yeah.
And I feel that a lot of women probably felt a way like, damn, Usher, like, you know. But it's hard because, like, Russell Simmons is our Berry Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, damn, like, and Russell Simmons has done so much for people. And it's like, I from what I've heard, is like, if you're around Russell Simmons and you understand, like, how he is. Some people say things like, I can see how a lot of that shit could happen. I'm like, rape? And it's like, but then, like, no, like, the way that he treats people, like, he calls women bitch, like you know, like, he, like, Russell is just, like, a very, like, he's a very unique person to be around. So, in a lot of ways, in certain things, like, you know, he's been rich for so long, he just thinks that certain things belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just used to
accommodating him. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know, but, like, some people are just used to accommodating things for him. So I think that with Usher, like, he just thought it was innocent. Like, come on, like, I think Usher thought, like, I'm Usher. Like, come on, y'all know me. Like, y'all know I ain't down with this shit. Like, I'm just taking a picture of somebody that was a mentor to me. And I think he thought it was innocent and probably, you know, was a little bit tone deaf to it. But you got to think, L.A. Reid is his other mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Puff is one of his mentors. Like, all of his mentor, like, all of the father figures. And it's like, I've never heard or seen Usher. I know he's the fourth. But I've never heard of seeing Usher's father in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the fourth.
Yeah.
I thought about that recently.
Yeah.
Like, I think he took his dad to Bali with him.
I've never seen that nigga in my life.
I think so.
I've seen every relative of Usher's. I've seen aunts. I've seen his mom. Like,
everybody's, you know, little, seen his mom. Yeah, his, like, mom's his manager.
Yeah. His little brother. Like, I've seen other relatives. I like his kids, everybody. Mm-hmm. His first wife's kids. Never seen his pops.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is just that, like, for Usher, it's just like a really whack situation. Like, it's a really whack place to be in. Like, your father figure is accused of these things. And now you can't stand next to them no more. And it's like, yeah, he did these things to these people, but to me, he was my father. And that's, like, where, like, the whole, like, divide comes, because it's just like, well, your father's a piece of shit now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but yeah, like, this man taught me this, he taught me that. And,
yeah, but he can still, but you don't think he can still stand or have that divide in his mind and behind the scenes without publicly standing next to this nigga? Because that doesn't do anything for him. It's not going to sway the audience or sway people. He's pretty much, he's risking his image for nothing, because it's not going to sway. Yeah, it's not going to sway how people look at Russell just because they see Russell with Usher.
I think that Usher was confident enough to know that it would probably only last about a week and then it would go away. And yeah. I feel like Usher's is a veteran in music for so long, been a celebrity for so long. He knows that certain news is just news, like, and it just comes and goes.
It comes and goes.
Because there's so much other scandal that he's been, like the herpes scandal, his stepson passing away,
mm-hmm.
you know, confessions and all the shit about him and Chili and everything like that. I think that That's why, like, we never get him. He never really speaks on
anything. He doesn't talk about anything.
He, like, we still don't know if him and Chris Brown really had a fight.
I think there was something, though. Yeah.
They don't talk about something. Shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they both came out performing the next day. Like, nothing happened. We haven't seen them together since, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, something happened. But I just think Usher just does what he does. And he's like, listen, like, I'm still going to have a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. Like, because I guarantee you, he ain't never going to stop standing next to L.A. Reid. He might stop fucking with Russell. L.A. Reid ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. His impact on his life is crazy.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it is what it is. He'll step away from Puff, though. But L.A.
Reid. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody got stuff.
He not about to put up a photo with Puff.
Yeah.
He not about to
put up a photo. Yeah, no. He won't even put up a photo with Puff's kids.
Yeah, he gonna stay away from that.
Right.
Hopefully.
But let's talk about this project that we're doing today.
Oh yeah. So this project that we're doing today, this individual is unique, man. We've covered one album from him in the past. FM. We did the FM album. But this album in particular is his fifth studio album. And I think what I like about this guy, is that throughout his artistry, his albums have remained consistent and his personality has somehow became bigger than his music.
Yeah, it does. Cause his person, like what, I'm sorry to cut you off, but his music is nothing like what his interviews are like.
Yeah. And that's what makes him so interesting to me because there's a lot to uncover with him. You know, In his interviews, and he's been on record to say, like, yo, I'm not funny. Like, I just be saying real shit. And I feel like he really believes that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a troll. And he's lived a million rap lives, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's been around for so long, but he's only, like, 30 years old. You know?
And he's a part of so many different, like, inclinations. Like, yeah. Charlie Qualley signed him.
Mm-hmm.
Who else signed him after that? Charlie Qualley. Oh, No ID signed him to Def Jam. Mm-hmm. Then he got out of that deal. He was associated with Odd Future because I think he was Earl Sweatshirt's hype man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he's like, and it's funny because people be like, you are part of our future. And he'll be like, no, I was not. Mm-hmm. He said, I was friends with Earl. I don't know them niggas. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just mad funny to me.
He's really good friends with Tyler. He's been on tour with Tyler.
Yeah.
He's
from Long Beach. Mm-hmm. He's from the LBC. That's where Snoop is from.
He's friends with Schoolboy. Yeah. And that blog era of rap.
Yeah. Mac Miller's one of like his best friends.
Yeah. Mac Miller. Yeah. So like that blog era of rap plays a huge part in his career. But like somehow a lot of those people from the blog era get mentioned and this gentleman doesn't get mentioned enough. And I think now he kind of hit the, not necessarily the reset button, but he's in an interesting space right now because he's transitioning from just not only making music and having these really great interviews, but now he's leaning into this actor thing. He has his show, 5 episodes on Netflix, super rewatchable content. Like people have been rewatching it.
There's so many Easter eggs.
Yeah, so many Easter eggs. It's really well done. He's on Abbott Elementary. I mean, if you don't know who we're talking about by now, we're talking about Vince Staples. I love that we went through this whole intro. We really didn't say his name. Vince Staples. And the album that we're doing today is Ramona Park Broke My Heart. The album was released April 8th, 2022. It's his fifth studio album, like I mentioned before. It's named after the neighborhood they grew up in Long Beach, California. It was led by only two singles. Magic, which is produced by DJ Mustard, and DJ Mustard actually helped executive produce this album. And Rose Street was the other single. Album's packed with production from DJ Mustard, Kenny Beats, DJ Dahi, Cardo, DJ Quick did some scratching on DJ Quick. Plenty more features, you know. Well, not plenty more, but he has some select features from Lil Baby, Ty Dolla $ign, and you know, that's just to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to this album when it first came out?
I did. And the reason why I did was because I was trying to figure out like why do I like Vince Staples so much, but I don't have like FM. I really enjoy because it kind of like gave me like a feeling, but like Vince Staples doesn't have a distinct sound. He doesn't have like a signature song. Like I just like him.
Mm-hmm.
I just like this dude. Like even like what he raps about sometimes, like him detailing like where he's from, or him talking about certain subject matters, like I don't get it. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I saw him at Coachella perform, and like his performance was nothing like what I thought. Like the way like he moves and like gets around, he doesn't perform like a rapper at all. I don't know, yo. Like, he just... Vince Staples so smart, he made me a fucking fan, and I don't even know how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think... So, when this album first came out, I was just intrigued by the cover of it. I was intrigued by, you know, Vince at this point, because this was... This album came out right after his self-titled album came out. Right. Like, it was like... I want to say it wasn't even a full year. Let me see. Let me scroll down. All the way down to, like, his discography.
Oh, well, this is just on Ramona Park.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Okay, so you got... Okay. Yeah, so it came out a year later. The Vince Staples project came out 2021. Ramona Park came out 2022. But I don't even think it was a full year apart. And I remember thinking, like, damn, like, he's really dialing this up, and he's leaning into something. And I've always liked Vince, not just his music, but the personality. Like, Summertime 06 was my first time really, really diving into his music. And I remember really, really liking that project years and years ago. And I just liked him as an artist because I just kind of have like I have a knack for like listening to a lot of West Coast rappers. So like, and he falls right in that. And but it's different though. It's not your typical West Coast rap. Like everything is super intentional with his music. He has themes. He leans on themes a lot with his music. And there's no different with this. Like when you uncover this album, this album is so fun to listen to for me because there's so much to uncover. Like every time I listen to it, there's like a new nugget, like something that's attached to not only a previous song on here, but previous projects. Mm-hmm. And he does that a lot.
Too smart, yo.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he just got like fucking like Venn diagrams all over the walls.
And yeah, man. It's exciting. So like this project is a little different from his other ones because he takes a little more risks on this album because you got a song like Magic that's produced by Mustard. You know, that's it's a pretty commercial approach for him. But it's still tied to him, you know, like it still doesn't feel like he's straying too far out. It still feels good.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, like this project, like I enjoyed it and it's just really hard for me to rate Vince Staples albums because they don't suck. Like, so it's like, I'm like, they don't suck, but they don't blow me away. Like, they're just good listens.
Mm.
And that's why it was really hard for me to rate this album, like, when I listened to it, because I enjoyed it all the way through. And finding, like, songs that I don't like, it's not that I don't, like, I hate how smart he is. I feel like he does this on purpose. Because it's like, I don't feel, like, even the songs that I'm not crazy about, I'm like, well, I don't hate it. Like, it's good. Like, mm-hmm. And I'll say this, Vince Staples makes amazing full-length projects.
Yeah, he does.
When you listen to it, like, you want to listen to the whole project. And I remember a couple years back, we went to Common had a show.
At Gramercy Theater.
Yeah, Gramercy Theater. So I saw my boy, his name is Shampoo. Shout out to Shampoo. Shout out to YVNS. He works with Def Jam. He's a part of, like, the promo team. And, like, so Shampoo's claim to fame is that, like, he took Future to all radio stations in New York when he first came to New York.
Okay.
Right, and he was like a part of that. So like, whenever he comes to New York, Future always like reaches out for Shampoo. So he came and like they were, Common was still Def Jam at that time, and they were promoting Summertime 06. And Shampoo was complaining like, yo, the game is getting fucked up. And I was like, what you mean? And he was like, yo, like, look at this shit. What the fuck is this? Like, because the cover of Summertime 06 is just, like, waves.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, somebody's swimming in it, I believe. And he was like, yo, how the fuck am I supposed to promote this? Like, people don't know who the fuck Staples is. Like, how am I supposed to? And he was so frustrated. And I was just like, yo, man, just you getting paid today. Just do your job. Like, he was just like, yo, what is it? Like, he was like, yo, what is, like, rap coming to? And I was like, yo, like, Vince Staples is dope, my nigga. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, what you're saying, like. It's just art. Like, he was just so mad. And I always remember that because I'm like, yo, I hope I'm in a room with them at the same time so I can bring it up.
Yo, that's mad funny because I can see that frustration. Because it's like, when you look at Summertime 06 and you see how his albums are, like, with the covers and shit, they became more and more like that. And then he kind of leaned away from that and made it more artsy. In a different way, like where he's the forefront of it. Like, you fast forward and you go to an album like the Vince Staples Project, And it's his face. It's just his face mad close. And it's like he kind of just, it's like he took, somebody else probably told him too, like, hey, you got to start showing yourself. Because up until that point, if you click through his albums, up until that point, it wasn't him on the cover.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So you got Summertime 06, mm-hmm. right? You got that one. Well, Prima Donna is a mixtape. Yeah. It's just his head big as fuck. Big Fish there.
Wasn't him. It was a big ass fish.
FM is a beach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's and what I'm saying. And then Staples, boom. It's like,
yeah.
I've arrived type shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting to think about. So I don't know. I think with Vince Staples, he tries a lot of different things and he doesn't shy away from trying new shit. And that's why I fuck with him.
Yeah.
And it stays true. Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. So did you watch, have you seen the Magic video?
No.
Go to it right now.
Okay. Are you walking like, oh, okay.
Everything okay, young man? Party down the street. You should have seen.
The whole video he does that? Yeah, like the whole like Spike Lee shit. But that's not even a point, you'll see. Which is so funny that you've never seen this. Ah, we see why though. So, for those watching, Torian's cousin is in this video. And he actually plays a big part in this video.
guy got fucks up Vince Staples?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yo. That is dope. Yeah,
shout out to Guy.
That's funny. They beat his ass.
Well, yeah,
I gotta figure out how to add this into the episode.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like, I wish he did more visuals for this project too. He only did two. The other one is like less than 2 minutes, and that was for Roll Street.
Yeah, that's definitely why he made the show up.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, yo, people, the video's not gonna catch like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you get into the album, kicks off with The Beach. The calmness of it is so good. It's like a soundtrack to like where he's from. I think that's what he wanted this. That's what he wants this album to be, essentially, right? And it's a lot of reflection for him. So like, it kicks off with that. And in the city, baby, you first rap. Oh wait, he said, in the city, baby, your first rap can be your murder rap. Can be a murder rap. And I think it goes a lot. It plays a lot into the documentation that he does of like where he's from, him talking about the history of where he's from, him talking about getting out of it, but also recollecting, like having that frame of mind to kind of reflect, but move forward with the knowledge that he gets.
Yeah, I think especially like the first song, like I thought that was like a good, if you're a fan of like Boys in the Hood or like Menace to Society, like those movies about the West Coast, like you see the neighborhoods and you're like, oh wow, this was like a really pleasant neighborhood, mm-hmm. and everything, and then like, you know, violence.
Yeah.
So like the way that this song ends with gunshots, I'm like, yo, that makes sense, because us, you know, being from like, well, me being from New York, when I would see things like that, when I would see like where other people live and like they had houses and shit like that, because of New York City, you live in buildings and shit, mm-hmm. you always think like, oh, that's a nice neighborhood. Like, yeah. That's just the first thing you think of, rip. And then you find out, no, that's the fucking hood.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want nothing to do with that shit.
Yeah.
It's so funny to like see that and like have it like on the inverse. Cause I think everybody knows like, all right, New York City projects, things like that. But it's like, when you see how other places are deemed bad or whatever, it's like, I would love to live in a house, but mm-hmm. you're like, you don't want to live in that house.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And then for the gunshots to follow up with A, which is mm-hmm. the second song, it's a great follow up.
Free the Homies.
Yeah, Free the Homies. And I love how he does a Ray J reference on this song too.
Yeah.
The If I Had One Wish,
yeah.
Free the Homies. So, because you know, Ray if J you're a Vince Staples life. Fan, yeah, you know he loves Vince Staples. I mean, he loves Ray J.
Right.
So that was really fire. And the beat is so West Coast.
Very, very, very Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
influence. Like, he's very good at that too.
Yeah.
I realized that on FM.
Yeah, same. And and let me see. I think this album just keeps flowing from here, man. I mean, you got DJ Quick.
Yeah, DJ Quick.
Yeah.
The beat is dope. Mm-hmm. And it's great older DJ Quick. I don't think that DJ Quick gets enough attention.
He doesn't. I was thinking about that too. I think he mentioned that.
He's complained about it. Yeah. Like, he just is. And it's so, and I think it's because he's such a West Coast artist, like, and like what he, like what he does, like, it kind of like, it's kind of like what E-40, like what E-40 is like, you know, he looked for that reason. Well, no, E-40 stands out because he's one of the few in Oakland, right? So, mm-hmm. like, he stands out. DJ Quick is from Southern California, so you got to think, like, he's standing next to Dr. Dre. So, like, that's why he kind of, like, doesn't, like, shine through that much, because it's just like, well, nah, like, Dr. Dre is that dude. But, like, you know, like, Daz and DJ Quick are, like, producers that, yeah. like, deserve their flowers. Mm-hmm. But it's just that Dr. Dre overshadows them.
Yeah. And Dr. Dre kind of, like, branched out a lot, you know? I think he put a lot more on his plate than Quick probably did. And he did more for the recognition.
Right, yeah. And you got Jimmy Iovine next mm-hmm. week.
That's true. And then you got, let's see, what else on here? Oh, Nameless. We already talked about Magic.
Let's talk about Nameless.
Yeah. Nameless, okay. Seamless. Seamless lead into the next song. And this, I feel like, is where I pick up that the theme of this album is survival. Mm-hmm. Survival is a consistent theme across this album. And in different ways, I think Vince plays on that. We're not just talking about where he's from, but also talking about where he's going in the industry and everything like that. So
he's very smart with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna let you finish because I want to get into what I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so Nameless is one of the songs that is a metaphor for talking about a gun. Like, these bullets is nameless, right? Mm-hmm. So who do you think has, like, the greatest song that's a metaphor for a gun? I think I know which one you're going to say, but I'm just really curious.
Let me see. Probably I Gave You Power.
I knew you were going to say that.
But I think Nameless leads into When Sparks Fly. I think that's the one that he talked
about. Well, I'm sorry, yeah. So When Sparks mm-hmm. Fly, like, Nameless is just basically just letting you know it's, like, it's perfect beginning, and then it goes into that. Sorry, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen. It happens so quick, like, it feels like it's almost.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, right? Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was that I think that, like, Tupac's Me and My Girlfriend, like, finding out years later that Me and My Girlfriend is about him rapping about a gun, mm-hmm. that was cool, that was cute, right? And then, like, Gion and My Buddy, that was a great song, right?
Yeah.
I think Nas has the best one, but I think the song that doesn't get talked about, I went back and listened to it. Sticky Fingers has a song.
Which one?
The song is called Money Talk, and it's him and Raekwon, and it's off the Black Trash album.
Ah,
and on that album, he has a song where he's rapping about a gun, like talking about, like, the person with him and Raekwon. Mm-hmm.
I gotta revisit that then, because I'm sure I've heard it. So shout out to Z, my older brother, because he was a big Sticky Fingers fan.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so with Smoke Fly, like, I was just like, oh shit, like,
yeah,
like, this is, I just thought it was brilliant, and, like, yeah, what he did, because it's like, you could be outside, like, everything could be all good, you could be at the picnic, you could be at whatever, like, mm-hmm. and some shit that happened one year, one time at 1199 day, like, some shit happened, and, like, it was scary, because, like, there were, like, older people outside.
Oh, shit.
And, like, because it was, like, you know, it's a family day, and, like, some shit popped off, and, like, you know, people got, like, was, like, trying to run, and, like, got hurt, and stuff like that, and it sucked, because, like, some of us knew, like, the worst thing that you can do is, like, run. Mm-hmm. So, like, we just, like, stood there and, like, went to go help and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it sucks that I even know that, like, when there's a shootout, like, not to run.
Yeah, so, it's tough, man. Survival tactics. Yeah. But, yeah, no, When Sparks Fly is an amazing part of this album. I think it's part of his elevation as a rapper, too. Like, I think he displayed not just, like, his storytelling ability, but also, you know, just his writing. His yeah. writing just it just got so much better. And then, you know, and this is where the storytelling comes into play too, because When Sparks Fly leads right into East Point Prayer, which features Lil Baby. Mm-hmm. And on the song, he talks a lot about like all the shit that he did in the past and him doing getting in trouble and having to move to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And being in Atlanta for a bit, and then you got Lil Baby comes in, who's a big Atlanta artist, and everything just leads into that. So all the features that are on here are so sensible and so
meaningful.
It's like he said, you know, he was interviewed about this song and he was like, well, I just wanted Lil Baby on there because who doesn't like Lil Baby? And I knew he would sound dope. And he was like, yo, and he was a real nigga for this because he didn't even charge me. Like, he just wanted to do it. He was like, yo, I'll do it, you know?
So I think this is funny because what do you think about, like, I always found this hilarious. I have relatives that, like, will get in trouble and they be like, all right, we got to send them down south.
Yeah.
And I think that's hilarious because I've seen that happen and they went down south and got into more trouble.
It got worse.
Because there's nefarious things like going on down south as well. But it's funny because like some families think like, oh, you know, because you're from the city, oh, you're not going, what you going to get into down south? So unless you like sending them somewhere where there's like no telephones and dirt roads, like nah, like they're going to find the gang shit.
That's the, yo, what's so funny about that in my family, it was, yeah, you acting up, we sending this nigga to Cameroon. That's what.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That was different. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what it was for my family. That's what like, it still is. Kind of like with the younger generation, but now younger generation, like my little cousins, you're not going to tell them that. They just like, no, I'm not going. Like, no. Like they're more. And then the adults now, you know, they're older. They don't have that fight in them like they used to. So it's like, stop acting up. All they got is the mouth. And it's just not the same. But back then,
I had relatives getting shipped off to Alabama, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back then that was the punishment.
You know, it's so funny to me because it's just like to me is you doubting their skill to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like they ain't gonna go out there and meet nobody like them. Like what?
But then when you're young, like your ability to kind of just morph into like whatever it is around you is so strong. Like, whatever is around you, you just adapt, you know?
I had cousins go down south, man, fucking turn the kingpin.
But yeah, man, and then that leads into Slide, which is a fucking banger.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a regression in his mind state in this point of the album.
Yeah, Charlie and then on your ops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, he go to the south. He's kind of, he knows why he's there. Bettering himself, but then you get to Slide and it's like, yo, yeah, nah, but I'm out here, like, for real. Paper Cuts is an important part of this album because he's talking about loving the money that he's getting so much, almost to the point of like loving it as much as he loves his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all the money, he's like in his head about it and where he's at with it. And getting all this money and all this new fame and all these new eyes on him. And he's talking about that confidently, right? But then elsewhere on the album, and on Mama's Boy, he kind of leans into that more. Like, I love this shit, like my mama, like talking about like the fame and shit. So it's, you know, it's tied together really, really well.
Yeah.
Shit, what else?
On Lemonade, I was like, Lemonade, like, you know, using the metaphor for lemonade, like, you know, take lemonade, make the best of it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yo, Vince grew up around mad old people.
Yeah. He did. He talks about that a lot.
Like he was around old, like older people all the time. And I feel like he heard a lot of conversations he wasn't supposed to hear, and I feel like that's why he's like that.
Yeah. Cause I think with him, he's super like chill. And he takes in a lot around him, like, you know, like just from conversations and shit, and kind of just stores it. But Lemonade should have been a single. It's a fun song still, with Ty Dolla $ign, you know, Young Parsley, as we call him.
Right.
Should have been a summer anthem, in my opinion. Player Ways, I think he should show more of that side of himself.
Toxic fucking shit.
Yeah, like just from, I feel like what he gives out in interviews and shit and like the way he speaks. He's so like shut down, but he's talking, you know, and it's funny, it's engaging, you know. He has charisma, but like he doesn't play up this side of him. But he can talk about women. Yeah.
He has it.
So it's like I think with a lot of his interviews and stuff, even when you see women talk about him in the comments, they're like, oh, this nigga is jaded. This nigga is this, he's that, you know. From, I think he had an interview with shout out to Speedy Norman, mm-hmm. I think his name is.
Yeah, from Complex.
Yeah. He had that interview that he had with him. when he's like, you think I'll be inviting niggas to my house? Like, nobody comes to my house or whatever. And like, people was watching it and they was laughing, but then you see women in the comments and they're like, yo, like, what's this nigga been through? Like, why is he like this? Like, you know, like, so you don't really get him talking about women or engaging with them, like how, you know, and Mac Miller was like this at one point, actually.
Really?
Well, he didn't really talk about women in his music like that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't until later that he started, you know, you got the Divine Feminine, like, you know, he started openly dating and, you know, having public relationships and stuff like that. Like, I think it'd be cool to see Vince with like a counterpart and how that would kind of influence his music.
Yeah.
So Player Ways is like a good start to that.
I want to talk about the spirit of Master Cody, because I did a deep dive and watched YouTube videos.
Yeah.
This motherfucker.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
The way he died is interesting.
Yeah. I didn't know that, you know, that, like, yo, dudes in the West Coast, like, I like, we hear about, you know, other regions and stuff like that, but gangsters in the West Coast, it seemed like they all they wanted was respect and fear.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want you, like, they took your money because they could, and they did, but that didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker Monster Cody dude was crazy.
Yeah, he was. Even this segment right here is so intentional for him to put, because I think he identifies with this a lot. Vince does, at least. It's interesting because it's like, he knows how people see him. He's aware of that. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's done already. Like he is playing out the way that he wants it to. And I think he's kind of trying to say Master Cody the way that his fate was. It played out the way that he knew it would, you know? And I think he put this on there because of that.
That's true.
Think Master Cody was only mid-50s maybe when he died.
Yeah, I just, like, when I'm checking out the story, I'm like, oh, he wrote the book and came home from jail. And then they say, you know, he's breaking in the entering again. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I thought he was reformed.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, like, that shit threw me. That wasn't the story I was expecting to get. I'm thinking, like, it was going to be, like, a happy redemption story and everything was that. And it just seemed like, nah, like, yeah, he's a fucking monster. He's wild.
Monster Cody.
Yeah, and that name, you know what I'm saying? Monster Cody, ladies and gentlemen, is a Crip legend. He's up there with Big Tookie.
Yeah.
Like, and he beefed with, like, other rival Crip gang. Like, he beefed with the Rolling 60s and shit like that. Like, like, he's of legend.
And then even on Mama's Boy, at the end of that, there's a snippet, I think, I want to say it's of Vince's mom, and she's saying, like, if I didn't have to work two jobs or three jobs or whatever like that and did this and that, maybe he wouldn't have turned into a monster or something like that. But, like, I think with Vince, what's so interesting about him is that, like, yes, he is jaded. And there's a lot of things that just happen in his life and around him that he's that should kind of be more, he should have more alert to. And he's just like, yo, fuck it. Like, niggas die. Like, that just happens. That's reality. Like, he's so used to certain things around him. It's like it's a weird calm with him.
Yeah, very weird.
Yeah. So I think that's what she's alluding to when she says stuff like that, because he's seen so much and so much of that shit is just, it doesn't faze him. Roll Street is fire. Fire. The production is great. Sounds like Currency on it a little bit to me. But it fucking knocks.
Yeah. Flower Soon is Dead, homies. I really like that song, and it kind of like should be resonated, because like I have like a few friends that have died over time that died very young, and like it's something where it's like, it's when you're younger, like you're so hyper, like masculine, right? But then, like, let's say, like, something happens or whatever. Like, next thing you know, like, all the I love yous and, like, the hugs and, like, our wishes and all of that shit, like, immediately comes into play. And it's so fun. I just think it's a funny dynamic with men.
Yeah, it is.
Amongst men. Like, it's something where it's, like, something dramatic happens and instantly lets you know how much you love that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, immediately, like, you do shit, like, bringing up, like, your boy, like, put flowers on your boy's grave or something like that. Like, that's something, like, you would never give that nigga flowers when he was alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very interesting to me to think about. Like, I think about it.
The older you get, the more you value your time with your loved ones. It's a thing, for real. This album, the closer of this album, I love. It's a really proper closing.
The blues.
And it's a full circle moment from this album, right? Like, he's taking you on this journey of finding himself, of recalling all these times in his hood, in Ramona Park, and him getting money, flashing it on songs like Paper Cuts and shit like that. And then at the end of it, he's saying, money make me numb, you know, like that's what he's saying on the blues. And it's such an interesting moment to me because it's like, you know, you went through this whole journey of trying to attain that money, and now it's kind of numbed you to things around you, to your surroundings. It can kind of be a callback to your mom calling you like a monster, quote unquote, or your relationship with women, or, you know, you being sent to the South and how you handled that and maneuvered that. And even early on in the album, talking about, you know, freeing the homies and all of this shit, and kind of just being okay with it, getting his money, getting his access and success, and sitting with it and seeing how it's affected you emotionally is it's a great tie-in.
Yeah, Vince is a deep dude, and I can't wait till he writes a book. I know that's coming.
Oh yeah, that's definitely gonna happen down.
I just think that he just has like a lot to say. Like even like I said again, like thinking about this album, I'm like, this is just he's a good musician, and like he's just making like solid bodies of work. Like it's not like the best, and it's definitely not like bad at all. Like he just makes good bodies of work, and it's meant to be listened to all together.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't like that's one thing that like I'm assuming that like labels are fine with coming from Vince Staples. They're like, yo, just make your project. Like, and he does it, and like he tours, and like he does what he needs to do, and tells everybody else they're stupid.
Mm-hmm. And I think he genuinely feels that way.
Yeah.
But let's get to ratings. How you feeling?
It's a 3.5 out of 5 waffles. It's just the middle of the pack because I've grown to try to just, you know, judge a person's project against like their other projects, and I definitely have like other projects that will rank better than this, and we'll get to that later.
Okay,
but yeah, 3.5 out of 5. Like it's a good project, it's a good listen, but like he definitely has other projects better than this.
Okay, so for me, this is a 4.5.
I think
this is some of Vince's best and most focused rapping. The story is so unique. Like I said before, like every time I listen, I discover something different with it. It's a very tight listen, even though it's 16 songs, it's not even an hour.
Yeah.
I think every song and the way that the concept of it is unique. The sequencing is so good. The features tie into it really well. I think it's his most focused project. And I can't wait to see what he does next. I know he's on his acting shit right now, but I can't wait to see what he does next. So it is something that I would recommend, obviously, to his new fans that are like probably just discovering him from his interviews that go viral every 3 minutes, or his new show on Netflix right now. Highly recommend. Check it out. Let us know what you think. I'm First Class Reg.
And I'm Torian B.
We're out of here, guys.
Catch you next time. Dun dun.